This is The Gorge, the podcast where my friend Sarah and I gorge ourselves on what's happening in the world of video games and entertainment.
The Gorge is brought to you by Patreon. That's patreon.com/thegorge, where for just $5 a month you gain access to not one, but two entire podcasts. $5 gets you Takeout, a monthly commentary track where Ben and I decide we don't feel like playing something, so instead we're just gonna watch something and talk over it and take it easy. Take out it easy? No, that doesn't work. And $2 gets you Praetorian Pals, a series where Ben, Saturn, Oates, and myself sit down and play the MSQ roulette in Final Fantasy XIV, although sometimes we don't do the MSQ roulette in Final Fantasy XIV. Really, it's just an excuse to listen to us talk about Final Fantasy XIV while playing it, because it's eaten holes into our brain.
Yeah.
And also whatever other inane bullshit that happens to spring to mind.
That's correct.
That's where we develop lore about our characters. That's where we develop headcanons about Gaius.
It's where we make up stupid-ass songs on the fly. And yeah, it sucks, but it's also really good. And $2 also gets you the entire back catalog of That's Hell You're Walking Into, a series where Ben would ask me questions about the Nasuverse, and I would do my damnedest to answer them. I'm trying to find a way to make that part of the spiel shorter, and it's just not working out because that's a really long podcast title name. Anyways, all of that can be yours if you head over to patreon.com/thegorge. And no matter how much you kick in, we appreciate it.
Yes, thank you to all of our wonderful supporters. Mm-hmm. You could just call it, like, Thaiwai.
No, that sucks. No? I'm sorry, okay. Ben.
Okay.
Thaiwai sounds like a part of your body that you don't know you have until somebody has to cut it out.
Yeah.
Like, oh, you've got a Thaiwai infection. It's got to go, you know? And now you got to pay like $50,000.
It sounds like a weird like muscle like twitch, yeah, or like a knot that forms like has to be removed. Uh-huh, like it doesn't exactly go away on its own.
Right. Yeah, you've got a you've got a thyroid in your TMJ, and you're like, God damn it. All right, fine.
Is my insurance going to cover this? No.
No.
Damn it. Of course.
So now you have to pay $50,000. Anyways, Ben, it's roundup tonight,
yeah,
right?
Okay. Yes, it is.
Cool. Do you want to go first, or should I go first?
I'll go first. I've played a handful of games.
Okay.
I have continued playing Persona 5 Strikers.
How do you like it?
I have come to the conclusion that it is not a Musou.
Okay.
It is an RPG where the random battles are Musous.
Oh, that's kind of a neat idea.
Because, like, a traditional Musou, like, if you haven't really played one in a while, but, like, it's not just a game where you are one guy and you fight 1,000 enemies all at once.
Mm-hmm.
It is ostensibly a strategy game, where, you know, you are in a map, and the map is divided into quadrants, into sectors that you have to, like, capture points, mm-hmm, for your, you know, for your forces to spawn, or you rout enemies in order to keep them from capturing your points.
Right.
And you are eliminating an enemy faction from the map.
Okay.
Strikers doesn't have that. It's just, like, a dungeon.
Mm-hmm.
And there are enemies lurking around, and when you bump into one of those enemies, it kind of turns into a small Musou-like arena where you fight like 100 or so shadows.
Okay, that's interesting.
So it's a lot more like linear. Like there's progression in the map, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Like it's much more of like a. It is kind of a lot more akin to like an action game where like you go to the combat arena and there's the enemies, and then you do platforming in between, you know, the big open sections where enemies are.
Right. Okay.
It is really cool. You can you set up your party of four. You can't swap out Joker, but you can swap in the other three or three others from the other Phantom Thieves, and then as well as Sophie, the new girl, the Atlas new girl.
Yeah, of course.
The requisite spin-off new girl.
That's right.
And you can switch them when you get to save points. It is like set up like a regular Persona 5 dungeon, where it's like you go to the save point to swap party members. You know, your SP doesn't restore until you leave the dungeon.
Okay.
But since it's not a calendar year, when you hit a save point, you can just leave the dungeon and come back and it'll be the same day.
Oh.
So time flows via plot, not like you have X days to get through it.
Right. Okay. Well, that's nice. It's way less stressful in that way. There's less, like, time in. Are there social links?
No.
Okay.
No, they have come up with an excuse for all of your confidants to not be around.
Okay. I wasn't sure.
It's set in summer vacation, so obviously you don't run into Kawakami anywhere.
Sure. Right.
Takemi is off at a doctor's conference out of the city. EY is just, like, closed for the summer, I think.
Yeah, that works. Sure.
Like, that's very funny. Like, it's an early plot point where, like, they're like, well, there's shadow business going on here, but our normal hookups for medicine and guns are gone.
Okay, that's cute.
Which, like, you could have just put them in there, because, like, you still do have an inventory, like, an item shop to, like, buy equipment. Like, you could have just, like, you didn't have to, like, make the big rolls, but, like...
Yeah,
just go to the shop.
They could have just been there hanging out and been like, oh, hey, kid, how's it going? Right?
Yeah, they didn't have to be like a plot element. They could have just been like in it.
They could have just been there. We like UI. We like Takemi. Bring them back.
But what it is instead is that Sophie orders things off of the dark web and has a... has immediate delivery services.
I see. That Owen. Okay, that's actually really funny. Yeah. That's okay.
So I
ordered a gun off the dark web.
Pretty much, yeah.
Great.
She's like, I have it delivered right to the restaurant. Like, you can just kind of feel Futaba being like, well, that's not good. I'm gonna have to explain that to Dad.
Dad is not gonna be happy about this one. Oh well, he'll be fine.
Futaba, you're ordering a lot of packages nowadays. Don't open those.
Look, don't worry. It's like, oh no, did you order another weird anime figure? No, it's significantly worse. Actually, yes, I ordered another weird anime figure. Don't look at it.
It's a hentai figure. Don't look at it.
I'm ashamed. Don't look. And inside is just like an M16.
Yeah, exactly.
It's really big to be a hentai anime figure. Yeah, it's really, really embarrassing.
It's one of those like deluxe statues, you know. Mm. Great. But no, it is a lot of fun. It's just nice to, like I said last week, it's nice to see the guys again.
Sure, absolutely. Nice to hang out with them kids.
Yeah. What else? I finished Hi-Fi Rush.
Okay.
That is one of the best action games I've ever played.
I'm looking
it's
forward to it.
It's good from start to finish.
That's one we're talking about next week.
Yeah.
So sit tight.
I won't say anything else about it, but there's one thing I'm very, very excited to talk to you about.
I'm excited to talk about it.
Speaking of action games where you summon an aspect of your soul that fights alongside you, I started JoJo's Bizarre Adventure Eyes of Heaven.
Okay.
Which is their arena fighter fighting game. All-Star Battle is their like side 2D side-scrolling like traditional art fighting game. Eyes of Heaven is arena-based, kind of like, you know, your Xenoverses or your Narutos.
Sure.
Whatnot. It's not great. It's a little slow and clunky, especially coming off of Strikers and Hi-Fi Rush.
Sure.
I'm like, what do you mean I can't dodge anytime I want?
Oh, that's deranged.
What do you mean I have to, like, wait to, like wait a couple frames to bring up my guard? What are you doing, game?
Oh,
how can you do this to me?
Very slow, I see.
Yeah. The reason I am playing it is because the story mode, is actually really good.
Mm-hmm.
It is the most fanfic bullshit ever, in which they come up with established a JoJo multiverse where, because of the effects of a Dio that won in part 3, it's causing like these rifts across space and time.
And oh, so, it's Fate Grand Order singularities.
Yeah. So Speedwagon has to go around gathering up all the JoJos and the Joe Bros from the various parts to form an army that can take out Dio.
And fix the timeline. Yeah, I love the Grand Order.
And it's really great because, like, so it's JoJo, and it's not a spoiler to say, like, it's got a pretty high body count for a shonen manga.
Mm-hmm.
Like, the ratio of surviving members for by the, like, of the core cast is pretty low and kind of hovers around 50% for most of the parts.
Huh.
You know.
I didn't know that, actually. Yeah.
Well, you've watched part one. How did that one end for Jonathan?
Oh, yeah, that's...
How did that end for the protagonist?
That's a good point. I see.
So they do a thing, and this is kind. I mean, so there's the way part three ends, and I'll keep it a little bit vague just in case someone has managed to not get entirely spoiled on everything that happens in part three. Of the six core members, the three that survive are saying their goodbyes at the airport. They part ways, they walk off, and then immediately get attacked by mind-controlled versions of two of the dead members.
Great.
They're like, wait a minute, you died!
Hold on a second, Fallout icon thought you died!
Yeah. And they do that for every part. It's like, the whole thing is like, all your favorite characters are here, even the ones that died.
Great.
Just put the whole gang together and go on fun adventures.
Don't worry about it.
Don't think about it. Yeah.
Don't think about it too hard.
It's the best kind of fan fiction where everything worked out perfectly for everyone.
Mm-hmm.
It is very fun because you get a lot of interactions of older versions of characters interacting with younger versions of characters they knew.
Mm-hmm.
Like, there's a bit where the part five cast interacts with one of the characters in part three that they run into. They're like, oh, you look a lot younger and have more of your body parts.
Okay.
And the part three character is like, what?
Wait, what's that about body parts? Excuse me?
What do you mean? Oh, nothing, nothing. It's just a joke. Don't worry about it.
Don't worry. Yeah.
So it's fun if not, I have to be like, it's a anime arena fighting game. This is not meant for like high skill play.
Sure, right.
It's fan
meant for
service.
Fucking around.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's fan service.
What else have I played? I started Marvel Snap. I downloaded that.
The phone game?
Yeah.
Okay.
I don't know if I'm going to keep it up because it's just a card game.
There's
no story or anything. There's no overall plot. It's just a multiplayer deck building card game. And the deck progression is weird.
How so?
Because you get your starter deck and it's full of a bunch of crap cards that are just kind of very basic and whatnot. And like, you're up against, they put you up against people who are also just starting out and they only have the crap cards and whatnot. But, I mean, I don't know, maybe I unlock it later. There's no gacha.
Oh.
Like, you don't get new cards? You progress by beating other people. And you unlock points to, like, get cards on a scale.
Huh.
And I don't know if I'm not worthy of unlocking the gacha.
Doesn't Pat of Castle Super Beast fame, he plays it.
Yeah.
And doesn't he, like, show, not like rolls, but like he shows off new cards he gets, like, oh, this is a cool one.
Yeah,
like,
you earn cards by, like, winning and, like, ranking up.
Yeah.
You know, in the thing. But you would think, like, oh, you're just starting out. Here's your first free pull.
Yeah, here's your tutorial roll. Yeah, exactly.
But no, like the cards you get are kind of, like, initially, like, set.
Weird.
And then you just gotta, like, earn them as you progress.
So what's the monetization?
I don't... Like, you can buy, like, credits and whatnot that, like, allow you to, like, to boost your cards or, like, to get, like, variant versions of cards that are like different art style and whatnot. But I don't really see
where the
pull thing is. Like,
maybe there isn't. Although that's weird to have a card game that doesn't, because what is a real life gacha if not buying trading cards, right?
Yeah, you know, I used to play Magic, and it's like, yeah, you buy booster packs and you get the cards out of them.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know. I looked into it, and I'm like, am I missing something here? And I haven't found anything yet. So it's pretty fun as mm-hmm. far as card games go. But I'm like, I don't know. It seems very limited because there's only six turns in each game.
Right.
You only get six turns to win.
Interesting.
So there's no deck building, intense, strategy and you know, plotting and whatnot.
Mm-hmm.
It's very strange. It's weird. Not at all what I expected it to be.
No, very weird. Yeah.
Yeah. So I might drop that, but mm-hmm. I mean, it's very odd to be like, well, where's the gacha element? Where's the thing that I would hate in any other game?
I guess we've just been conditioned to looking toward the gacha. I suppose, you know,
mm-hmm.
I guess that's why gacha games do so well. Because everyone loves the dopamine of, ooh, I pulled a good one. You know,
yeah.
We all like those brain chemicals.
It is a lot like when I play Dark Road and they strip mm-hmm. the gacha elements out of that. And I'm like, well, there's nothing to the game now.
There's no progression and earning and stuff.
And then finally I play Pizza Tower.
Oh yeah, tell me about Pizza Tower.
Pizza Tower is a fantastic game. If you like the part of Neon White where you go very fast and try to get a really good time in this game, in the level, you will like Pizza Tower.
Okay.
They have nothing in common thematically or gameplay wise at all. Mm-hmm. But they have the same dopamine boost of, I did really good in that level.
I did really good at the video game, and that makes me a valid person, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. You play as the most anxious Italian man in the world.
Yes.
Named Peppino Spaghetti.
Good for him.
Who's a failing pizza restaurant is threatened to be destroyed by Pizza Face, who is a pizza that is a face.
Yeah, no, yeah, that, mm-hmm. Yeah, that makes sense.
He's going to shoot the restaurant with a big laser unless Peppino storms the Pizza Tower.
I see.
There you go.
Yeah, yeah, it's completely self-explanatory. Yeah, yeah. I don't see what the big deal is. Yeah, no, totally.
He is supported by his much more mild friend Gustavo and mm-hmm. his big rat Brick.
Okay.
The art is immaculate.
Sure, I've seen it. MS Paint style.
It looks like a Saturday, we say Saturday morning cartoon a lot, but this explicitly is like, this game evokes the 90s in ways that other retro style games could only dream
sure.
of evoking.
Mm-hmm.
The main menu, the HUD, it all has that that weird, disjointed, just stuff everywhere
right.
on the HUD. Like, it's a mess.
Adjacent to Cruelty Squad, another
yeah.
game with an incredibly fucked up UI.
Yeah. If you've ever played Earthworm Jim mm-hmm. or Boogerman or pretty much any cartoon based platformer from the Super Nintendo or Genesis era.
Yeah.
Fantastic game. It's all you just navigate through these levels. Peppino is invincible. He cannot take damage. You every time you get hit, the only thing that happens is your score goes down.
It's a Wario.
Yeah, you're okay. it's explicitly a Wario 4 like.
Right. Okay.
You do get different forms. You run into an enemy that throws you a baseball, and Peppino rolls into a ball and doesn't stop until he hits a wall.
Okay.
If the enemy throws a hot pepper in his mouth and he starts breathing fire and gains a dash.
Oh, fun.
So it's all very stupid, and I am really enjoying it. The cool thing about it is you navigate through the level and you have to find the toppins.
Right.
Which are five little sentient food objects. There's like a pepper, a pepperoni, a mushroom, a block of cheese, you know, that kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
You find those, and then when you get to the end of the level, you smack a big Easter Island looking head.
Mm-hmm.
And then you have to backtrack to the beginning of the level on a 2-minute timer.
Oh, I see.
And new pathways open up and old ones close, like you have to navigate a different way
to get fun.
Back. It's really fun.
That is really fun. Okay.
Yeah, it's really clever that way. And that's like your chance to kind of like gain a shit ton more points because like there's just enemies that will spawn, but like the level is designed for you to just start dashing and blow through everything in your way.
Right.
Delightful game. Absolutely incredible. 2023 is off to a great start with Hi-Fi Rush and Pizza Tower.
Sure, absolutely. Just very loud, colorful, bright looking video games. Absolutely. Mm-hmm.
With killer soundtracks.
Yeah, of course.
But yeah, that's about it. Okay. For me, just a lot of really good games already.
I'm seeing, tons of good video games. Well, I actually did something that isn't just play Fallout for once. So be proud of me. It isn't Yay. Many things, but two things really like of import to talk about. I guess three. One is just a funny little thing. So kicking off, Oates came and visited me Yay. Over the last week or ish ago. I'm losing track of time already. That was fun. We primarily just hung out, but the funny part is we basically watched all like the first half of Transformers Prime again.
Nice.
We just kind of like, you know, that whole thing's on YouTube for free.
Wait, really?
Yeah, you can just watch all Transformers Prime on YouTube, like on an official Transformers account. Yeah.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah. So that's funny, just because like there's nowhere to watch it legally, I think.
Mm-hmm.
So because it's not like on Paramount Plus or any shit like that. But yeah, no. So we watched Transformers Prime. The other thing is we watched the first four episodes of Ancient Magus Bride, which is a really good anime. We had to stop because I kind of had like an emotional reaction. That's fine. But like a good emotional reaction, but still I was like, I think I've had enough Ancient Magus Bride for a night.
It was one of those like, this needs to be a personal experience.
Yeah, I need to just kind of sit down and chill with it. But it's really good. It's really funny how obviously the artist for Ancient, like the mangaka, really likes Full Metal Alchemist.
I noticed that.
Because all of the designs are extremely FMA in like kind of brilliantly simple, right? Like
mm-hmm.
everything is very like clean line work and very simple character designs, but everyone is very unique and readable. And everybody makes really fun little cutesy facial expressions and just like, it's just a really cute kind of slice of life magic show. But my favorite thing about it, among many things, well, okay, two favorite things. One is that, so the main dude is a guy named, Ulrich, right? Yeah. I might be wrong. It's been a second and my brain is, I'm just like, of course, I can't remember it now that I'm on the spot. But the main dude is the guy with the skull head, right? Mm-hmm. And so he routinely does the Alphonse from FMA thing where he goes from being like very sinister looking deer skull head man to like the most charming little blob version of himself you've ever seen in your entire life.
Yes.
I love him. Very endearingly kind of weird and just like very forward kind of character who just says things very bluntly. Good character design. Just kind of great in general. But the other thing is, do you like your magic shows absolutely packed to the tits with magic shit?
Yeah, you know,
Have I got an anime for you. It's called The Ancient Magus Bride. Magus Bride. Magus Bride? Whatever. It's great. Like, they're just, every episode is just like, here's some more magical shit. The King of Cats. dragons and fairies and the fairyland and all these like familiars and crystals, like all like just tons of fucking magic shit everywhere, right?
Mm-hmm.
Which is like A+, 10 out of 10. That's what you want. If your show is going to be a magic show, it needs to be like a really fucking magic show.
Yeah,
you know?
Absolutely. Like, the one thing, like, the pet peeve I have with a lot of, like, more, like, a lot of, like, series that are, like, kind of more grounded is when they have magic, but it's like, oh, but it takes so much of your life energy to cast a single spell.
Yeah,
it's
who
like,
cares?
No, fuck you. Make it magic where I can do anything I want with no consequence.
Yeah, there's tons, but there's also just like tons of varieties of magical shit. Like there's dragons, and everybody has their own kind of cool, unique way of doing magic. And there's like crystal magic, and like all kinds of stuff. Like I said, there's like you can like talking cats. Who live in like this, it's all set in England, so you know, you get a lot of like beautiful pastoral English village shots and shit like that. And you know, so there's the king of cats and curses and wizards and sorcerers and mages and all that good shit.
Yeah.
And yeah, it rules. I just love like I love when the magic show just leans in on all the different kinds of magic and world building and all that fun stuff. I really, really like it for that reason alone. It's charming. It's a good show. It's very kind of, I wouldn't say like immaculate. It's very well animated, but it's not like super like Sakuga, you know, like really elaborate animation shots, but like it does what it does very well, you know, like it's very kind of quiet, sort of slice of lifey, solving magical mysteries kind of show. And I really have, I have enjoyed the first four episodes that I've watched, so I'm looking forward to watching more. And then last but not least, I started finally Signalis. Ooh. I didn't get very far. I got about an hour and a half in, so I cleared the first two kind of zones and got kind of far into the second little. Because, like, you know, it's divided by the, it's like the intro zone, the first floor of the, it's a labor camp. The first floor of the labor camp where you do, like, your initial puzzling. And then I got down to the second floor and stopped for the night because it was getting late. Signalis rules. I think we've talked about it before. We watched Saturn play some of Signalis, the first, like, 4 hours of it on stream in the Discord. Yet another reason to join the Discord, because we're always hanging out. And so, like, none of it was super new to me, but it is fun to play it again, because, like, that's a game that knows exactly what kind of tone it's going for.
Right.
Right? Like, just everything about it is really impressive to me. A lot of Signalis. Signalis is, like, you know, we played Neon White, and I liked Neon White, but I wasn't sad that I didn't play Neon White in time for the Gorgies.
Right.
I feel like I'm probably going to kick myself that I didn't finish Signalis in time for the Gorgies, but it's fine. Because, like, everything about it is just really immaculately designed. Like, it's kind of going for this Silent Hill, like, obviously really heavily referencing Silent Hill.
I've seen enough to be like, the save room is just Silent Hill.
Yeah, it literally does a bright red box that you save in, so it's specifically going for Silent Hill 2. There is a character who I have seen interacted with twice. The first time she interacts with you, she says, "You shouldn't be here. There's something weird about this place. You should leave." And then when you interact with her again, she says, you know, she basically says word for word Angela's introduction from Silent Hill 2. So, you know, like, they know what they're doing. Yeah. But I know that it forks off in a completely different direction. But it's, like, it's super going, like, leaning into, like, this Silent Hill kind of, you know, third person 3D retro aesthetic that's really good, but also it's going really hard for the other thing that was happening in like the late 90s, early 2000s, which was that kind of lo-fi anime game, right?
Yeah.
And it also does that extremely well. And those two parts just kind of come together, and it has this very sleek, like, like cyberpunk sci-fi horror aesthetic going on that just looks great. Just everything is very well designed, has a lot of cool art assets in it, and yeah, I like it a lot. It's not very scary right now, but it's not very scary so far, but maybe it will get scary later. But like, it does have a great aesthetic and vibe and atmosphere, so you know, it's good. I like it a lot. So I'm looking forward to talking more about that, and I think that's kind of it. I don't think I have any other major things to talk about, so yeah.
Okay, all right then, let's talk about some news.
Hit me.
Final Fantasy XIV's latest raid sparks controversy as world first winners accused of cheating.
Yay, we get to talk about top. Cool. They gotta stop naming these ultimates ass and top. You know? The last one was ass, this one is top. We have to stop. So, oopsie doodle.
The world first clear for the Omega Raid. They were celebrated. Big, you know, hooray, you guys did it. Big deal going on there. And then people took a little bit of a closer look at the video for proof.
Well,
be like, well, wait a minute. There was no video.
Yeah, that's the thing. There's no video. So it was a Japanese group who posted the picture of like their whole, you know, their group at the end of the Omega Protocol, which is Omega Ultimate, right?
Right.
And everyone was like, oh, cool. The group is literally called Unnamed, which is very funny.
Yeah.
So Unnamed, they post their picture of their whole group standing at the end of the Omega Protocol. Really, very fast world first clear, right?
Mm-hmm.
It took a while for DSR, which was which is the previous one, Dragon Song Ultimate. That one took a several days for that one to get cleared, and this one it was pretty quick. And so people were starting to go like, well, that's weird. Where's the video though? You know, if you're going to be a world first raider, you know, people who go in and try to finish this first, you want to take videos so you have proof. And it's like, oh, well, they don't have any video proof. They just have this screenshot of them standing at the end posing. It's like, and then a few days. And so everybody's like, that's kind of weird. And then a few days later, one of their, I think it's an 11-man group, and one of their alternates, one of the people who wasn't in the Omega Protocol raid, right? Mm-hmm. They posted a video of Unnamed doing the Omega Protocol, and then they zoom the camera way out. And it's like, oh, okay. So if you don't know, you can install plugins to Final Fantasy XIV that let you do, like, they don't autoplay the game for you, obviously, but they let you pull the camera back out further, you know.
There are UI mods that track information that isn't normally accessible to regular players.
Yeah.
Like,
you can live track your parse, not just, like, have a parse checker on and look at it after the encounter, right?
Yeah. Things that will definitely get you banned if you're caught, and things that are easy to get caught doing when there's a video of it.
Right. And the thing is that there's no way currently, because they don't do easy anti-cheat for Final Fantasy XIV.
Thank God.
Thank God, yeah. Currently, there's no way to check who is running plugins. So as long as you don't brag about it, it's kind of like, you know, if you do cosmetic mods, it's like, don't at the developers with your fucking modded screenshot, right?
Don't put your modded screenshots on a billboard, for instance.
Yeah, outside of Houston, Texas. Don't worry about it.
Advertising your illegal strip club.
Yeah.
An erotic role-playing group.
Yeah, don't, maybe don't do that. But yeah, no. As long as you kind of keep it on the down low, they're not gonna do anything to you. The problem is that if you're, I don't know, running an ultimate and you need to post video proof, that's gonna be really, really obvious. Oops. Which is exactly what happened. Yeah. And Yoshi P made a blog post that was basically just like, I'm very disappointed in all of you. Oh no, you've made him angry. Several of the members of Unnamed just straight up deleted their accounts. They all had their, you get special weapons if you finish the Omega Protocol, same as always, like, same with Dragon Song Ultimate and all the others, like Alexander Ultimate. But they had those taken away from them, which I think is the first time that's ever happened. And yeah, it was a huge clusterfuck. A bunch of people, like, they deleted their accounts. They just basically vanished into the ether. And it was all pretty bad. And it's the second time this has kind of happened. Because, like, Dragon Song Ultimate was not complete. Like, we know that the Neverland are the guys who cleared Dragon Song Reprise, DSR. They did use some form of a plugin, not like a huge camera zoom plugin, but they used an something that was like automatic markers. Like, you know how there's markers on the floor
for, yeah,
like raids and shit that tell you where to go for certain mechanics. There's a plugin, I think, that you can set up that will automatically move those markers. And like, that's, you know, that's kind of a gray area, right?
Yeah, that's still a little bit like, no, that's not...
Because the whole point is that you're supposed to remember that placement instead of having the markers do it for you. So, you know, that's still kind of a gray area. And, like, they still got the congratulations for finishing DSR, but, you know, 2 days later, there was also a Final Fantasy XIV blog post that was like, hey, just to remind you, we don't like it when you guys use plugins.
Yeah.
Hey, just a heads up. So this was just even more of that, which is like, and oh no.
Also, Yoshi P has said that, okay, we're not going to celebrate first clears anymore.
Yeah, they said they might stop celebrating first clears, which is very sad. But I mean, you know, that's kind of the thing, is like, people, you know, they're not doing it for the whole, like, the learning of the mechanics. Yeah, the sportsmen's of it, or the learning of the mechanics. It's just to say they did it first. And when that happens, of course, it's going to be an arms race to see who can use, like, plugins and shit to get it done first, right? Yeah. So that's a shame. I hope this doesn't mean they're talking about easy anti-cheat for Final Fantasy XIV, because that would destroy cosmetic modding.
Yeah.
And I don't want that.
I mean, if this keeps up, it's just going to ruin it for everyone who just wants their character to look prettier.
That's right.
Next, speaking of cheating.
Oh no.
More evidence points to Billy Mitchell cheating for his Donkey Kong records.
What?
Yeah.
Oh, gimme.
So, new photos showing him playing the game indicates that he's using an 8-way joystick instead of the classic 4-way joystick.
Oh.
Now, the reason why this is a thing, you wouldn't think for Donkey Kong, because Mario can only move in 4 directions in that, right? Like, you can only go up, down, left, and right. Like, there is no... Why would an 8-way joystick matter? It turns out that the nature of the barrels being thrown is affected by what direction you're holding.
Oh!
Which means that if, say, you're climbing a ladder,
but you're holding it in one of the 8 directions.
Yeah, so you're still going up, but you also have the button going left or right. You can manipulate the barrel positions and their speed that way.
I see.
So, you know.
Okay. Yeah, I see. Well, you know, Billy Mitchell was always a hack and fraud. His hot sauce isn't that good either.
It just keeps happening that more and more shit keeps coming out. Remember when he got really, really mad because they made fun of him on a regular show?
No.
Yeah. There was one of the episodes of regular show. I don't even remember the exact plot, but like they were like, it was kind of like they were like in an arcade tournament.
Mm-hmm.
And the guy they had to defeat was a giant head with arms and legs.
Oh, right. And I remember this.
He just kind of looked vaguely like Billy Mitchell.
Yeah, because he has like Billy Mitchell's dumb fucking beard and haircut. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. Great.
Which,
well, dude.
You know, stop being a cheating scumbag and...
Yeah, don't be an asshole and people won't make fun of you in cartoons and stuff. It's literally that easy.
Yeah, just stop doing that.
Mm-hmm.
No
one's putting a gun to your head to be an asshole, Billy Mitchell.
Yeah, no, this is all you. You're just getting caught repeatedly. Yeah, dude. Speaking of FF14 mods.
Oh.
Popular Final Fantasy XIV mod trends on Twitter after developer adds malware to program.
Ah, the G-Shade debacle. Yes. Yes.
So there was a G-Shade is one of the most popular mods in FF14 because it makes the game look prettier.
Right. It's a shader. It color corrects. Final Fantasy XIV's default colors are kind of toward the orange, like the yellow and brown kind of. Mm-hmm.
Everything's scale. a little more muted
mm-hmm.
than you might want. So G-Shade fixes that.
Mm-hmm.
Very popular mod. And then an update went out that would check to see if you're running other third-party programs.
Right.
And if it was one that the developer didn't like you using, G-Shade would shut your computer down.
Yeah, this is a weird one. And, like, this happened because... the exact, like, step-by-step of this, I don't know, like, in total detail... But this happened in part because G-Shade was also checking to see if you had, like, updated it every time.
Yes, that too.
And there was this, like, literally a 16-year-old girl wrote code to bypass that and you would run it. Mm-hmm. And that pissed off the G-Shade developer so much that the next update turned G-Shade into malware.
Yeah, because the idea was that, like, G-Shade updates so frequently, mm-hmm. and it's annoying to keep track of.
Right.
So the idea is, well, I'm good where I am with it, I don't need anything more, I'm going to turn off updates. You know?
Mm-hmm.
So instead the update goes out that causes a shutdown of your computer.
Yeah.
To which, when people obviously went, hey, G-Shade developers, what the fuck?
Mm-hmm.
One of the developers went, it could have been worse. Which is the worst thing
that's
you
not
can
the best
say.
Response. No, that's not the smartest of responses that you could possibly have. No. So then basically everything went to shit, overnight.
Yes.
So G-Poser, which is attached to G-Shade, they kicked them out of the Discord. G-Shade is basically gone at this point. The dev has gone silent. It's basically a huge shit show.
The GitHub evaporated.
Mm-hmm.
The whole thing is just gone now, and a lot of people were like, well, shit. I use G-Shade a lot.
Yeah, well, everybody's,
Also, from what I hear, apparently it was kind of a nightmare to actually just uninstall.
Yeah, and I think that's the thing, is that the aforementioned 16-year-old girl also came up with a way to do that as well.
Yeah.
which is very funny.
Yeah, which is because, like, it's one of those mods that, like, it's not just, like, you know, you get it and you slap it into your mod organizer mm-hmm. and you call it a day. Like, you had to actually...
No, it's like a whole thing.
You have to go in and like, go to files with unintuitive names and go into folders that are usually hidden.
And yeah, so even... now everybody is having to switch over to ReShade, and it's like, oh, okay.
And even people who are good with computers, I always feel like get a little bit like, oh, I shouldn't be in here.
Do I really need to be touching these folders? I feel like I'm going to break something permanently forever.
I'm gonna double click on something for too long, and the rename field is gonna pop up, and it's gonna crash everything.
And my whole computer is gonna catch on fire.
Yeah.
And my mom's gonna be mad at me.
You downloaded too many browser extensions. That's what
you downloaded too many browser extensions. All these video games you play put viruses on the computer. No, Mom, that's not how computers work.
Well, in this case, it kind of does because you did install. Malware on your computer, but
that was not their intentionally. Fault. That was their fault. They turned it into malware. Okay.
Yeah. This is the second article in this news cycle where I go, guys, shut up! You're gonna ruin it for us.
Why are you making everything so hard on all of us?
Like, it's like Persona, where like Persona 5, where like Yoshi P's like alert system in the palace, the percentage is going up.
Yeah, exactly. Slowly making everybody more aware of Moz, and it's like, would you shut the fuck? It's the Wooly Madden gif, you know?
Yeah,
shut the fuck up. Shut the fuck up. You know, that's the title card for the episode. Is Wooly going shut the fuck up?
Yeah, don't tell Nintendo about your your fan game.
Right.
And don't
tell Yoshi P about how you mod Final Fantasy 14. Come on, guys.
We have a good system here where Yoshi P pretends to not notice if it's not right in front of his face.
And then what you don't do is stick the jiggling titty physics mod in his face and go, hey, Yoshi P, you like what you see? And he goes, no, and then it kills you with a hammer. Absolutely not.
You're gonna blow it for us.
You're gonna make. I'm gonna lose all my titty. I mean, never mind.
Never mind. Don't worry about it.
Don't worry about it.
We did have to get rid of that one mod because it just didn't work.
We don't mod Final Fantasy 14, Ben. We're good babies.
I also don't mod Smash Bros. Ultimate. And well, they don't care if I mod Fallout 4. That one's fine.
Bethesda desperately wants you to mod Fallout 4 to make it into a good video game, so they don't have to keep doing any work.
Can't wait for Starfield mod.
Can't wait for Starfield.
Next, exclusive. Xbox, Nintendo, and Sony won't be part of E3 2023.
So it's not even a fucking E3. So, come on, guys.
So who's going to be there then?
Just cancel it. Come on. E3 is dead.
What does that leave? EA and Ubisoft?
Well, Ubisoft is not even a company anymore. Ubisoft's about to be a garage sale, you know? Like
EA, like, because Bethesda always joins theirs with Microsoft, so they're not going to be there.
Yeah, they're not going to be there this year. And then that's a shame, because I always like Bethesda shows at E3. Activision Blizzard will come on stage at E3 and get on their hands and knees. Bobby Kotick himself will get on his hands and knees and be like, will you please just let Microsoft buy us for fuck's sake? That's gonna be the whole presentation, right?
Yeah.
Like, I don't know. Devolver Digital, they'll be there.
Yeah, oh my god, though. The Devolver special where they're the only ones on the stage?
Yeah!
That'll be good!
That's extremely funny to think
about. That'll be really... They can get a lot of material out of that. What do you mean Sony and Microsoft aren't gonna be there? Like, what the fuck?
I don't know. I don't know. It's so fucked up is the thing, folks. Like... Why even run E3 if nobody's gonna... I knew that Sony wasn't gonna be there, because, like, they've also started doing their own State of Play
thing. If this does end up leading to just where there was once E3, there is now a really big State of Play, a Nintendo Direct, and a Microsoft thing. You know?
Yeah,
great, but they didn't say that.
But then the thing is that, like, this also means we're never getting out of the hell of E3 in finger quotes lasting the entire month of June and sometimes July.
Yeah, the summer. I don't want another summer of game.
The summer of games is here to stay. I think the Keeley's. I think Keeley won.
I think since E3 is still happening from, if the article says June 13th to the 16th, I think that means that if Sony and Nintendo and Microsoft want eyes on their show, they're gonna set it close to that time frame.
Sure, but like,
so I think even having like an empty E3 conference
is still a thing.
Yeah, it's still better than having a Summer of Games where E3 is canceled and the Summer of Game is the thing instead.
It's a whole miserable month. Yeah. Yeah. We'll see. I guess they'll do like, I know PC Game Show will probably be there again.
Yeah.
The Wholesome Direct or whatever. Like Indie Game Show. We got a couple of those, you know. So that'll all probably still be there, maybe.
I just want another good E3, you
E3
know?
E3 is dead. No, dude, E3 is dead forever. That one year where Sony had the guy playing the flute, that was the last good one.
That was all we got.
Yep. Next.
Sucks. Next, NASCAR officially bans driver's GameCube-inspired wall ride stunt.
Boo!
Yeah, that makes sense.
Boo! You cowards! Do you even know why NASCAR exists? You bitches! You should be allowed to do that. Fuck you!
NASCAR.
It was awesome.
NASCAR bans bringing the blue sparks.
Yeah, NASCAR bans the one move that had like a bunch of people who never fucking watch NASCAR paying attention. I mean, like, that was the best free advertising you'll probably ever get for NASCAR ever. Was like somebody posting on Twitter, hey, this guy did this insane move that he got from fucking NASCAR 2006 on the GameCube, right? Like, and a ton of people are watching it going like, is NASCAR actually based? And if they had let that move stay in, maybe. But instead, they're like, no, we're putting up the no fun allowed sign. All you're allowed to do is go in circles for 500 miles.
I don't think it's so much a no fun allowed sign as it is a, hey, don't die.
No, don't care. You're getting in a car. No, I'm sorry. Absolutely not. You're getting in the car going 150 miles an hour with 400 other cars. You're going to have to accept that sometimes somebody's just going to flip that fucking car in order to do something cool. Right?
Yeah, they accept that part of it. They're not going to actively encourage to make it worse.
I think they should. That guy once got his throat cut during a hockey game, and he bled all over the place. That's a risk you take when you play hockey. I'm just saying the equivalent of that is sometimes you should let a guy shut up. You should let a guy drive his car directly at a wall going 95 miles an hour. Okay, because it ruled.
Yeah, Sarah, that guy who got his throat cut doesn't mean they let people bring knives onto the rink in hockey.
But they do let people bring knives onto the rink. That's how it happened. They're wearing them on their feet.
Yeah, but they're kept on the feet. They don't let you go higher than that.
No, I'm sorry. Still, no. You bring back the wall ride. Everybody should be allowed to do Mario Kart Blue Sparks in NASCAR. Would vastly improve that sport. I'm just saying.
They let him get away with it once. They're like, all right, you can do this. No one else can do this.
No one ever gets to do the cool shit ever again. This sucks.
What this means, though, Sarah, is that if you do allow it, it means everyone's going to do it, and you're just going to have a train of explosions.
That sounds awesome. What the fuck are you talking about?
It doesn't sound awesome for their families.
Who cares? Sounds cool to me. They're doing fucking NASCAR. Come on, guys. Otherwise, all you're doing is making left turns from now until the end of forever. Like, there's nothing to like about NASCAR if you're not riding your car on the wall at 95 miles an hour. You know what I mean?
Look, maybe if NASCAR also had a turtle who rode a cloud and had a fishing pole that could drag cars back onto the race, you might have a point. But they don't. They just have fire.
Yeah? What's your point? Still sounds base to me. Listen, Dale Earnhardt went out the way he wanted to go. That's all I'm saying. You know? if it's good enough for Dale Earnhardt, it's good enough for the rest of you motherfuckers.
I don't think that's a good metric to have.
I think it's perfectly fine.
That's like saying, if it's good enough for Evel Knievel, it's good enough for every other motorcycle rider.
Yeah? Yeah? What's up? Absolutely.
I forgot you're a lunatic. Okay.
Yeah, bro.
What they should do is they should invent no rules NASCAR, where they get those like demolition cars and have the metal pole like in the center support it. And that's when you can do wall rides.
Okay. Sure, okay.
But not when you're in the regular car that already has like a tendency to explode, you know, just going fast normally.
Yeah.
Well, who won this race? The only person who survived.
That sounds base to me. We turned NASCAR into Battle Royale. Hell yeah. It's now Fortnite. The kids will love it.
Sarah, there's a whole movie about why doing that thing is a bad idea.
There's
it's
also
called
entirely,
Battle Royale.
There's also an entirely extremely successful video game genre about why that's actually cool. It's also called Battle Royale.
Yeah, but in that game, it's fucking Kratos and Master Chief. It's not real people.
Yeah, well, you know what? Don't we all want to be like our heroes? Specifically Dale Earnhardt. I'm just saying. What's up?
Sarah, be honest. Is Dale Earnhardt your hero?
Dale Earnhardt was pretty cool.
Is Dale Earnhardt your hero, or are you just using him as an example to get more people to kill themselves in car accidents?
Now listen here, I won't let my good name be slandered like this in the middle of a podcast recording. I'm just saying, let the man do a wall ride. It was cool. It was cool.
Now he gets to be the only one who's ever done it, so good for him. He gets to celebrate that.
The one man who made fucking Zoomers care about NASCAR for 2 days. And they reward him by going, no one else can do it. Okay. Closing, that's what we talk about, miss, about lost opportunities. You close the door behind you, folks. Nobody else gets to do the cool wall ride. I see how it is. This sucks. Next.
Nintendo Direct February 2023, biggest games and announcements.
Oh.
It was not super eventful.
It was fine.
Tears of the Kingdom showed off Banjo-Kazooie Nuts and Bolts.
Yeah, I like this one because you know that Tears of the Kingdom is like this because Nintendo watched a bunch of videos on YouTube of people like turning rocks into vehicles and shit. And they were like, all right, well, we can do that. Fuck, why not?
That's a good idea, actually.
We should let these motherfuckers do a wall ride at 95 miles an hour.
Well, there's Mario Kart news on here, so we'll get to that.
All right.
We finally got to hear Ganondorf? Possibly?
Question mark?
And we're pretty sure it's Matt Mercer.
That would be insane, because, like, it might be Matt Mercer, but it's really weird because, one, Matt Mercer doesn't do voice acting anymore. He's too busy making 11 shit zillion dollars a year off playing D&D.
Mm-hmm.
I guess he does voice acting for that fucking...
Yeah.
Friends at the Table cartoon that happened of all fucking things. Not Friends at the Table, the other one. Critical Role.
Yeah.
Friends at the Table is the superior version of Critical Role, and you should listen to it instead. Or you should listen to Big Gay Nerds. Anyways, but, like, it would be crazy. One, because, like, no offense, but none of the other voice actors in the new Zelda game are very good. So it'd be really weird to be like, okay, we got one good voice actor. Like, we got one union good voice actor, and everybody else is non-union talent you've never heard of before. So, like, maybe it could also be like,
well,
you know,
no,
how they...
Sean Shiplock was Revali.
Was he?
Yeah, he's a pretty big name.
That's a pretty big voice actor.
Did I ever tell you? I don't think I told this story on the podcast. One of my friends went to college with Sean Shiplock.
What?
And he does.
That's like how your wife knows Prosie D.
No, so they went to high school together.
Oh,
they weren't actually friends or anything.
Okay,
but like,
okay.
I guess Sean Chiplock was kind of an asshole in college, so he played Breath of the Wild, and he's like, oh, that motherfucker.
Great.
Amazing.
But yeah, no, like it is kind of weird because, like, no one else besides Sean Chiplock, like, is a notable voice actor in Breath of the Wild.
Yeah, so it's just very strange. I guess if you're fucking... If you're Matt Mercer and someone comes to you with a big check or like a bag full of money and is like, hey, do you want to voice somebody in Zelda?
Yeah. And you're like, oh, who? Ganondorf. Yes.
Yes. Absolutely. I just hope they, I hope they hydrate my man. I hope he's not like a zombie Ganondorf the whole game.
It would be kind of cool if he is just like a zombie, but he still talks like that.
Yeah, that'd be cool. But also, well, you know.
Yeah, you need to water him.
Yeah, you need to put some water on that man, yeah. I'm just saying.
Hey, Mom, Dad, wake up! Metroid Prime 4! That's right! Metroid Prime 4 Switch!
Yeah, Metroid Prime 4 is dead as fuck! They canceled those pre-orders, finally. So...
This remaster does look really cool, though.
Does look good.
They really upped... everything about it. Game looks spectacular. I'm excited to play Metroid Prime 4 or Metroid Prime again.
Yeah, you're not playing Metroid Prime 4, that's for fucking sure.
Advanced Wars 1 and 2 is coming out, actually. They didn't just silently cancel it. It's coming out in April.
Like I said, you just wait in April. Like, literally, this is supposed to come out 4/20. April 14th or April 19th, we're gonna start some shit over Taiwan. I'm just like, oh boy, hang on to your butts.
They showed off some of Pikmin 4.
Looks cute.
You get a dog now.
Yay! We love dogs.
There's now Ice Pikmin. They look fun. Let's see. Switch Online is adding Game Boy and Game Boy Advance games.
Cute.
Splatoon 3 is going to Nier.
Oh yeah,
like,
I saw that.
They have like a weird like copied city.
Like a marina. Like story DLC thing, and it looks like near adjacent. I don't know. It looks cute.
Octopath Traveler 2 has a demo. I need to pick that up and give that a shot. Samba de Amigo is back.
New Samba de Amigo is cool. Is there anything else from this direct that really lit me on fire? No.
That was really about it. There was a whole bunch of anime games.
Yeah.
There was that.
Oh, they showed off the DLC for Xenoblade Chronicles 3 and the kid from 2 is like Chad now.
Yeah.
Like a big dick Chad. Yeah, it's incredible. Like,
he's fucking jacked as hell.
It's awesome. Good for him.
They showed off that detective RPG.
Oh, that has the art from the Danganronpa.
Well, no, there was that one, then there was the other one.
What? Oh yeah, that's right, the level 5 one.
Yeah, because level 5 got to take over everything with this.
Yeah, level 5 was like, oh fuck, we really want that Western money again.
Oh, fuck, that's right! Ghost Trick coming out.
Ghost Trick is coming. Yeah, Ghost Trick port, which is good.
New Layton coming out.
Good.
Fuck yes. And then, yeah, they're weird JRPG with...
I really hope the Ghost Trick port comes out to more than the Switch. Like, it just preview, like, it just, you know, first look was on the Switch, because Ghost Trick is Shu Takumi, which is the Ace Attorney guy, the guy who made the good Ace Attorneys. So, that alone is why you should play Ghost Trick, even though you don't, I don't know anything about Ghost Trick. I just never had a chance to play it. So, like, I'm really hoping that this is going to come out on other things as well. So that I can actually play it. Because I really like that.
Deca Police is the other weird RPG? Like, visual novel?
Oh, that's like a... It's, like, set in, like, a computer.
Yeah.
Weird.
It's... I don't know what this will be like. I'm curious, though.
It looks like Ace Attorney plus a, like, persona. It looks very strange.
Yeah. But that's really about it as far as new things. We got other looks at just some other other things. Oh, Bite and Kaitos 1 and 2 are getting HD remasters. That's right.
That's nice.
And yeah, Mario Kart is adding Birdo and a whole new track.
Yeah, but that's like, not part of the DLC pack. Like, yeah. It's like just free stuff that everybody gets?
Yeah, well, it's like, well, the initial DLCs were all classic tracks that were being ported for Mario Kart 8. And now they're just adding a whole, like, straight up new course.
Okay.
To the DLC. So
cool.
Cool, yeah. That's about it.
Cool. Anything else?
Yes. 16 years after release, Team Fortress 2 is getting a major update.
Hello? What's going on? I'm scared. Team Fortress is getting an update. Do you think that means they'll finish the comic?
No.
No, absolutely not.
This is crazy. Out of nowhere, a blog post on teamfortress.com is just like, this is, because they've had updates where they added like some cosmetics, you know, they've redesigned some of the maps for like holiday theming and whatnot. This is like, we're adding new maps, we're adding new items, we're adding new taunts, like new stuff.
Insane.
Not just remix stuff or like, you know, cosmetics. Mm. Like, this is new content coming to Team Fortress 2.
Amazing. Truly amazing after all this time.
No word on anything. They're not, you know, it's a Steam Workshop update. So, like, you know, hey, you guys make it for us. May 1st is the deadline for the Steam Workshop. The blog post specifically says, we're very excited for this exciting summer situated, but not summer themed, unless you want to develop summer themed stuff update.
Okay, cool.
So, crazy. It brought that revival of that little video of all of the hero shooters that died between TF2's develop like launch and now.
TF2 will never. We are not going to die. We're going to live forever.
It will. It can never go away.
No, I'm sorry. TF2 is eternal. They fixed the bot problem, and they're like, "Fuck it. I guess we're still gonna make it."
Yeah, I'm stoked. I would love to get new stuff in TF2. Next, Alan Wake 2 now playable from start to finish, says Remedy.
Wow.
So it's gonna be coming. It's coming soon.
It's coming. I'm looking forward to it. I'm really looking. That means I gotta finish Control at some point in my human lifetime.
And
for that,
and I guess I gotta do the what's the DLC called? The Alan
American
Wake
Wasteland.
Yeah,
I heard that's not really connected to like the main Alan Wake shit at all, though.
Hmm.
So, and I know that like neither is Control really, but they also have a DLC called AWE, which stands for the Alan Wake Experience. So, you know.
I really like, because I did start the AWE DLC in Remedy before I like kind of fell off of Control.
Mm-hmm.
I do like the idea that like, because you played a little bit of Control, like you see like the objects of power and whatnot, and like the events and whatnot.
Yeah,
it's kind of cool. Like these things that are like side quests or like little like curiosity points in Control were the entire game of Alan Wake. Like, just one of these things. Like the whole story of Alan Wake is, you know, one of the events that is documented in Control.
Oh, that's fun. Okay.
So it's like, yeah, this whole game you went through, it's a single-page document in Control. Right. You know?
That makes sense. It's like an SCP, right?
Yeah.
I mean, that's what Control is just kind of like SCPs and stuff, so that makes sense.
But I like that, like that kind of like sense of scale, you know?
Yeah,
like that perspective, that perspective, like proportion shift.
Mm-hmm.
Just really cool. Next, Indy, The Flash, Guardians, and more. Biggest trailers from Super Bowl. I can't read that. What is it? You're a football person. Is that 37?
What?
What Super Bowl was it that was just happened?
Was it 47?
47? What's an L? Is that 40?
That's a 40.
Okay, 47, yeah. I don't fucking know.
I forgot too. Now, in my defense, I know football. I don't know Roman numerals. But yeah, I think that's 47.
So yeah, there was a couple notable trailers, at least as far as you and I are concerned.
Mm-hmm.
Guardians 3.
Snore.
Did you watch it at all?
I didn't watch it.
Okay.
The only one I watched was the Transformers one. I don't care about a new Indiana Jones movie. I don't care about a new Guardians movie. That ship sailed, you know?
they're very clearly like, this is the last hurrah for the Guardians.
Mm-hmm.
And, Dave Bautista has very clearly moved on from playing Drax.
Yeah.
And it's like, you might as well just put up a sign that says, like, by the end of this movie, one of these characters will die.
Will die! Yeah, it's exactly. Like,
it's probably Drax.
It's either Drax.
Because Dave Bautista isn't going to play him anymore.
Yeah, it's probably going to be Drax. You know, they might kill off Chris Pratt. Who knows?
Depending on how busy he's going to be with Mario.
Okay, everything about the Mario movie looks great, except for the Chris Pratt thing.
Right.
It's like, oh no. Oh no.
Rise of the Beast was a 30-second spot that just showed off a little bit more of Mirage, or Jazz. I mean, Mirage.
Yeah, definitely 100% Mirage, folks. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Definitely Mirage.
Yeah.
He looks fucking great, though. Oh, my God.
He looks great. It's a glorified Porsche commercial, for sure.
Yeah.
But the actual design does look very good. I will admit to that.
He looks incredible. And it showed off pics of his new Studio Series toy. And that also looks stellar.
That does look good.
Oh, my God. I'm so excited. The Flash finally got a trailer.
I am just stunned.
Fucking incredible. There must have been, like...
Ezra Miller has to have something on these people, right?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. They have to, like... Their contract must be, like, 300 pages long. And if DC violates it, then Ezra Miller literally gets to kill James Gunn.
They get to kill James Gunn with a gun, actually. It's incredible.
Like, James's lawyers are looking over the contract, and, like, it's airtight.
We can't do anything.
They managed to get through every single possibility. There is nothing we can do. If you don't put out the Flash movie, Ezra Miller will drop you into a pit of sharks.
I mean...
They got it paired with the president?
They have to have, like, blackmail on somebody, right? Like,
it's the only way.
Like, they've got to have, like, I don't know, who's the guy who keeps ruining everything at WB?
Dave Zaslav?
Yeah, Dave Zaslav. He's got, like, Ezra Miller has got him dead to rights.
Yeah, on
of,
something.
Of, like, having sex, I don't know, at a furry convention or something, right?
Yeah.
Like, getting, you know, receiving lascivious acts from a, you know, a big-titted Rouge cosplayer from Sonic the Hedgehog, right?
Like, that's like, gotta
that's
be
the only
it.
That's the only option. Yeah. They have to have some sort of dirt on that man, you know? Otherwise... Because, I mean, like, Ezra Miller is a huge piece of shit, folks. And...
That's why they were in Hawaii. They were getting the evidence.
Yeah. Oh, that's true. Man. Either way, the movie looks bad.
Yeah, it looks...
It looks tacky and bad. Ezra Miller sucks ass. It blows that this movie somehow gets to exist, but that Batgirl movie is dead forever. Mm-hmm. And a bunch of other cool shit that WB was making or has made is now, like, dead forever. The Venture Brothers movie, we're all just like, don't you do it. Don't you do it.
Also, it's once again, you're not a comic person, but it's Flashpoint. Oh, it's okay.
Look, I'm not a comic book person, but I know the resigned sigh of, oh, it's Namek again. Okay.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Hey, we're doing an adaptation of a Flash story. Guess which one we're doing.
Is it Flashpoint?
It's Flashpoint again.
It's Flashpoint again.
Hey, we're doing this one again. Hey, we're gonna do an adaptation of a Batman story. It's The Killing Joke. We put elements of The Killing Joke or The Dark Knight in this thing. Look.
Yeah, I get it.
They're one of the biggest reasons why Into the Spider-Verse and Across the Spider-Verse are good, mm-hmm. is because aside from it being about a bunch of multiverse Spider-Men, it has nothing to do with the actual comic Spider-Verse event.
Right, exactly.
Not a single goddamn thing, and that's to its benefit.
Yeah, no, it's incredible to me that they just are just like, we're just gonna keep doing these, like, same... But I mean, yeah, of course, I guess it's not that incredible to me, because, you know, morally bankrupt division of this entire industry, right? Comic mm-hmm. book movies.
Yeah.
Creatively and morally bankrupt. So of course they're just gonna keep, like, rehashing the same shit over and over again, mm-hmm. and hoping it sticks this time. So I guess I'm not that surprised, but it's still just like, man, okay, I guess we're doing Flashpoint again.
The thing that like really makes me think that Ezra Miller has dirt on them, on the entire DC studio, is because, like, the plot is there's two Flashes, and they're both played by Ezra Miller, instead of doing the, you know, the No Way Home thing, where, like, hey, we got the other actors who played this character.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's a really popular Flash TV show that you had for, like, 8 seasons.
Yeah.
Maybe he could be in the movie. No, okay. Just two no. Ezra Millers? Okay.
Just two Ezra Millers. Okay, you have, fine.
You have Ben Affleck and Michael Keaton as two different Batmen, but you have two Ezra Millers. Okay.
We're never going to be free.
I guess.
This is gonna suck ass. I'm yeah. so tired.
And then finally, Harrison Ford gets to play a character he actually likes. So good for him.
Good for him. I also did not watch this trailer because again, I could not possibly care.
I don't really care about this either. But, like, I'm glad he's actually playing a character that he liked playing instead of one that he hates.
I guess Harrison Ford's having fun, so it's fine.
If he's having a good time, then. Good, then I'm happy for him.
Harrison Ford seems happy.
Me looking at Ezra Miller. Who are you? The wretched Ezra Miller.
Yeah. poor Giga Chad Mirage.
God. And finally, The Witcher 3's next-gen vaginas were unintended, devs say.
No, Ben! You can't do this to me! Okay.
So CD Why? Projekt put out that next-gen update for The Witcher. Some of the texture packs and updated visuals and whatnot were from fans that they repurposed.
I see.
One of these texture packs to update, you know, the skin textures and character models.
Mm, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Was
yeah, I get. Yeah, I get. Mm-hmm. Huh.
So.
Well,
so if you got to a scene where you could maybe look up someone's skirt, you would see something that. Is Ooh, not allowed in an M-rated game.
That's a whole hoo-ha just out and about, I see.
Yep.
Well, that's why you check your files, guys.
That's why you double check before you
If you're gonna use files from a modder, which is what it sounds like they did.
Yes.
They like got permission to use files from a modder.
Mm-hmm.
Listen, I don't know if you've ever been on the Fallout 4 Nexus before, but like modders are freaks. Like they're all just like extremely horny freaks.
Yeah, I can't imagine a game that is deliberately horny like The Witcher.
Yeah,
like it's got to be even worse, right?
It's got to be. You got to have. I will say I think Fallout 4 and the Bethesda properties are still worse because they're taking something that's so sexless and making it horny. Mm-hmm. Right?
That makes
sense. Versus The Witcher, which has already got like sex and titties and stuff in it, so like
mm-hmm.
it's fine, you know? Like you don't really need to sex it up anymore. And so no, there's not like as much demand for that. Obviously there is still some demand because otherwise we wouldn't be having this problem. But in general, you know, you don't need to like sex it up as much and because of that you don't get as many mods, etc., etc. But still, modders are freaks, and if you're going to check a file, if you're going to use a file from a modder,
little bit of work.
Those files.
It's not even like a really obscure thing. It's like a character texture. Like
it's Yennefer. It's Yennefer. You're really not going to make sure they didn't do. Nobody at CD Projekt Red for a second was like, we can trust this modder to not do anything weird to Yennefer, our like, extremely hot video game MILF.
Like, I know what, like, a character, like, a skin texture, like, a fully unfolded skin texture looks like in the game files. It's pretty obvious if something is amiss.
If you've added something new, you know, it'd... Especially considering that, mm-hmm. you know, I think you would notice it very quickly and go, that's a vagina.
Yeah, we should fix that.
We should maybe magic eraser that off mm-hmm. so that the girl's bits are not just out there for anyone to see. I'm just saying.
Like, it's not like it was like a really obscure audio file that played something weird or anything like that. It's a texture.
And it's in the video game, in your M-rated video game. And I got bad news. They don't let you stay in an M-rated video game if you've got a fully modeled bits in your video game. You know?
And that's some advice you can use.
That's some advice you can take to the bank.
That's some news you can use.
You're welcome. That's Sarah's life advice. Step one, don't put any fully rendered bits in your video game unless you want to be an AO game, you know?
Unless that's like your thing, then like go for it. But like, you know, don't I'm not otherwise. A prude.
Yeah. Like, you know, maybe don't. Or more importantly, if you're a video game development company worth millions and millions and millions of dollars, and you take some work from a modder, maybe double check it. Just once. Who knows? Yeah. Maybe somebody at CD Projekt Red did double check it and they were like, sounds like an improvement to me. And they just hit the, like, you know, put it in the video game button, which I assume is just a giant red button on their desk. Mm-hmm. Right?
Approved.
You just slap that and it just immediately goes into the video game.
You just stamp the texture.
Yeah. And then it gets sucked into like a pneumatic tube on your computer screen, and now it's in the video game. That's how it works, right?
That's definitely how they work. Totally.
Cool. I knew it. Great. I know everything about game development, for sure.
Yep, so that's it. That's all the news we got this week.
this is a weird week for news. Okay.
This is a very like provocative news week.
It's very saucy news week. We're talking about like sex and violence and explosions and stuff.
A lot of cheating, a lot of violence, a lot of like, you know, illicit activities. And
a little cars bit of blowing up.
A little bit of full frontal nudity too included in there.
This is a spicy episode of the Gorge After Dark. That's what this one is.
Like, we're marked on on like iTunes is like mature because of all the profanity we just regularly drop all the time.
That doesn't surprise me one bit, no.
But like, we're really earning it this time.
Yeah. Listen, if you're gonna be rated M, be rated M. Maybe that's why they put the hoo-has in The Witcher. Somebody was like, you know what, we're rated M. Let's go all the way.
Well, we put dicks in Cyberpunk so we can get away with it, right?
Yeah, it's fine. Sure. Why not?
Yeah. No, I'm sorry. The Witcher has a bit more dignity than that.
No, it doesn't. What are you talking about? I played enough of The Witcher 3 to know that's not true.
All right. That'll do it for us. Thank you to Adventuria for use of our background music. You can follow me on Twitter at The Gorge Podcast. You can also say at Radioactivity. You can email us at thegorgepodcast@gmail.com. And yeah. That'll be about it. What do we got this week?
Oh, actually, it didn't get it wasn't in the news, and this is an extremely good time to mention it, because it was such a small news article that I don't think it would get in. But the UK basically told Microsoft to fuck off with their
Did you see Bobby Kotick's response to that?
No.
He was like, "Oh, well, this is going to be really bad for your business. You know, if you're going to limit my ability to like purchase big companies, you will regret that. This will hinder our ability to make product. This is a bad idea for you guys."
Yeah, this is so bad for you guys. I'm definitely not holding this flaming hot potato that I really need to pass off on to somebody immediately.
No, you're the ones who will get your kneecaps broken, not me.
Not me, no. Extremely funny. I think the UK is the most cucked country on the planet. However, this was very funny, and I think it owns.
Yeah.
So, fuck Bobby Kotick and fuck Microsoft yet again. We're here again somehow.
Every so often, we just need to remember that we need to say, fuck them.
Fuck them. And it owns that they got told to eat shit. You know, the UK told them to kick rocks, so almost certainly the EU will tell them to kick rocks. And then it's just a matter of time before the United States also tells them to kick rocks.
Well, the United States gets bullied into saying it.
Right. Well, because... that's, you know. Because we're the second most cucked country on the planet.
Yeah.
You know. Yeah, for sure. Yeah. So, you know. But you can't spell cuck without a U and a K. So. You're welcome. Maybe that's the title of the episode instead. Night, everyone.